The following is an encore episode of Hour 1 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome, 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 welcome one and all to Turley Frequency, coming to you live from London this Friday, the 20th of January, January 20th, year of our Lord, 2023. You are most welcome to the Turley Frequency, the last one of this week. I know it's only been 4 days this week, but it seems to have gone on and on and on. Or is it just me? I don't know, maybe it's just me. Anyway, welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, I heard today on a different radio station that sort of indulges in this sort of thing that today is Penguin Appreciation Day. Reed, did you know that today is Penguin Appreciation Day?
I did not know that. Unfortunately, there's no penguins in Lower Alabama for me to appreciate.
I mean, I don't know who makes these days up, but I thought about this and I thought, yeah, there's no penguins in London other than in the zoo, okay? But then I thought, well, you know, on this show, we've got Mike, we've got Reed. They're the sort of Batman and Robin of this crew. Does that make me the penguin or does it make me the Joker? That's what I was thinking. Anyway, you're very welcome. Now, talking of all sorts of weird and wonderful stuff, because it's Friday, we're letting our hair down a little bit. Yes, some of us still have a few follicles. And we've decided that Fridays is the day when we explore those parts of the universe, those parts of the world, those parts of our faith even, that other radio stations just do not go near. We are fearlessly going where no man has gone before. We are looking at the subject of extraterrestrials and the Catholic Church. And to help guide us through that, we have an expert, a man who has literally written the book on it. His name is Dr. I nearly ordained him there. Dr. Paul Figpen. He is a layman and a Catholic convert, and he will be joining us in the next segment to talk to us about all things ET. And you know what I mean by ET, extraterrestrials, aliens, UFOs, unidentified aerial phenomena is the new word, UAPs. I think that's the one the Pentagon keeps putting out in all these reports, which reminds me, just this week, there have been reports from the Pentagon on this and about the various sightings. And it concluded that some of them they couldn't identify. Well, that's government taxpayers' money well spent, that they couldn't actually identify some of these craft. But anyway, that's all coming up in the next segment. And if you have any questions for Dr. Figpen, do think about joining in this great fun we have on Fridays on 888-928-0881. Or if you prefer, text me on 251-928-2111. And I'm only too happy to put your questions to Dr. Figpen. You know, maybe you've been abducted. Maybe you'd like to be abducted by aliens. Maybe you would like to go to another planet and meet these aliens. The only thing I'll say that in researching this interview, I was very surprised at some of the text that Dr. Figpen has dug up. Because I don't know about you, but for many years, this sort of subject of aliens, UFOs and such like was the stuff of humor, right? People joked about it, little green man, that sort of thing. Whereas what Dr. Figpen has unearthed is that this is a subject that has exercised the minds of some of the greatest minds in Western civilization. We're talking people like Plato. We're talking some of the church fathers. We're even talking the likes of Isaac Newton and so on and so forth. So you've got to stick around for this. This is coming up in the next segment. As I said, though, it just so happens this week, and this is all planned, of course, but it just so happens this week that the Pentagon released this report about UFOs. And effectively, it was an unclassified document which had been kicking around for a while and people were eagerly anticipating it. And it was released, it was unclassified and therefore released. And it looked at 366 incidents. These were either observed or submitted by other people. And of those 366, 26 were found to be drones. Okay, pretty dull. 163 were balloons. Now, that strikes me as slightly odd. But anyway, Six more were deemed to be airborne clutter, such as birds or trash. I guess these are just things that come up on the photographs. But there were 171 incidents, 171 that have yet to be attributed to anything. So of those, so let's go back. Of all those 366, 171 are unidentified. That's quite a high strike rate, I would say. And it went on to say, this report, that a portion of those unexplained incidents had, quotes, demonstrated unusual flight characteristics, end quote. Now, I don't know about you, but that's intriguing. I'm not sure it's definitive one way or t'other, but it's intriguing. And it just so happens that that was released this week. But, and here's the other thing, hot on the heels of this, this is all happening in D.C. And remember, this is your tax, your federal taxes are paying for this. The Defense Department's annual spending bill was delayed this week in Congress until a clause was agreed and inserted which would allow for the UFO world to know about the historical documents relating to UFOs dating back to as far back as 1945. Yeah, an amendment tucked into this year's $858 billion National Defense Authorization Act requires the department to review historical documents related to unidentified aerial phenomena dating back to 1945. So this may have been the stuff of jokes and humors and schoolboy pranks and talk about aliens and talk about X-Files and Men in Black and all this stuff that's become part of our sort of lexicon these days. But here in the United States, in Congress, these are issues that your congressmen and women are taking very seriously, seemingly. So no better time to talk to Dr. Paul Thigpen about this. Now, talking of extraterrestrials, because people forget that extraterrestrials is anybody who's not human. So I like to think of extraterrestrials, known extraterrestrials, like angels, for example. And I'm sure you heard the story, which was reported a couple of days ago by the Catholic News Agency, about the drunken thief in a church in Mexico. It happened in Monterrey. Did you hear this story? So in the early hours of one morning, I think it was January 14th, a man called Carlos Alonso, he aged 32, went to the Christ the King Parish in downtown Monterrey. And he didn't go there at that time in the morning to pray. Instead, he went to rob the church. In the darkness, he jumped over the fence in front of the church, broke a glass door and entered the church. However, while trying to flee, under his arm, he carried a statue of St. Michael the Archangel. But here's the thing. As he fled, he tripped, and the angel's sword seriously injured his neck. And soon after, he was apprehended by the police. He wasn't badly hurt, so there was no grave injury. But it's interesting. If you've ever seen a statue of St. Michael the Archangel, you know what I'm talking about. He's normally quite large, large wings, very sort of robust looking figure, and he normally carries a very large sword. And that's the sword which was the undoing of this thief who tried to steal his statue. So the moral of that story is don't go stealing statues of St. Michael because you don't know what's going to hit you. So, obviously, top of the hour, we're doing the Divine Mercy today. And again, it's the last day of the week. We've been praying all this week for a number of people. We'll continue to pray for those people. But if you want to be part of that, you can be as well. 888-928-0881. Call in or text us on 251-928-2111. What I liked about the last couple of days is that people are texting in simple little things, but important things. So, for example, they're asking for prayers for their granddaughter whose birthday it is, or that sort of thing. Little things, right? There are the big things, too. We've had people who have had bereavements and children in hospital. We've had all of that, and we're continuing to pray for that. But if you've got something just sort of weekend, you know, pray for somebody at the weekend. Maybe they're having a party, a birthday party, or a celebration of some sort. Something pleasant, something good. We can pray for them as well to enhance that experience.
Kevin, we have a caller already.
Wonderful. Well, let's see who it is.
I'll go ahead and put them through now.
Hello, you're through to the Turley frequency. Who am I speaking to?
Yeah, hey, it's Dave. I'm calling from Sanford. Well, actually, I'm calling from Fair Hope, but I'm visiting my brother. I'm originally from San Francisco. Really like the area here. I like the beach. I can do a lot of, you know, transcendental meditation and whatnot. But, no, you know, just listening to your show, just kind of, you know, scrolling through the stations there, and, you know, guys talking about UFOs and, anyway, well,
what's your view on UFOs, Dave? What do you have a particular view on it? Do you think they're from outer space? Do you think they exist?
Well, first of all, let me tell you a story. I know, in fact, you know, they exist, man, because I actually was visited by an alien. He took me aboard his spaceship, and his name was Dave, just like me. And, you know, we went to, it was really cool ship, man. It looked just like something out of, like, you ever watched Star Trek, you know? It looked just like something out of Star Trek. And we went to In-N-Out Burger, you know, local chain out on the West Coast. And, you know, he was explaining to me, he likes all the things, you know, they're just like us, man. They're just like us. They just want to be seen as one of the guys, you know, or girls. But, you know, they like college football. They're big Messi fans. And, you know, I was asking them about, you know, Jesus. And they're like, well, you know, just they brought up the Doobie Brothers song, you know, Jesus is just all right with me, you know. And so,
but like where do you think they actually come from, Dave? I mean, if they do, I mean, did you ask him where his origins were? Is he from this planet? Is he from another planet, another system? Where do you think he's from?
They live in a galaxy like millions of light years away, and they just can't, you know, they just come here to get away from it all, you know, just like humans, man. You know, we like to take vacations and go places, you know. Fair Hope, you know, Mobile, whatever, maybe not Mobile, but anyway, you know, the thing is, they just want to get away, man. You know, they're just trying to get away from the galaxy and all the hustle and bustle. And so, you know, like I said, they're just it's a planet, you know, millions of galaxies away. And I couldn't, it was something like Xenarch Caesar. I don't forget the name of it. Doesn't matter. But yeah, they're for real, man. They're for real. I'm telling you, I can't wait to hear your next guest.
Yeah, well, I think he'll be right up your street, Dave. Dr. Paul Thigpen coming to us, I think, from Georgia. But tell me this, Dave, what are you doing in Fairhope? Are you visiting Fairhope?
Yeah, I got a brother that lives here, and I just wanted to see him. I try to get away, you know, at least, you know, twice a year. And, you know, we've had a lot of bad rain and whatnot, man, and, you know, and bad mudslides and things like that, and a lot of flooding. So I was like, man, I gotta get away. You know, I can only take so much of San Francisco. And I, like I said, man, I just, you know, visiting him, and he was kind enough, and he lives by the bay here, got a nice house, and I like to go by your beach here in Fairhope, you know, and over by the pier and fish and do a little transcendental meditation and whatnot.
Well, I'm very glad, Dave, that first of all, that you're enjoying Fairhope, a place I like to visit myself one day. I hope you enjoy it very much, taking a break from San Francisco and all its woes. But also, I'm so glad that you've managed to find Archangel Radio. And I really do hope that you will tune in through your days here in Fairhope. And, you know, you can also follow us when you're in San Francisco on the app, on the mobile app, the Archangel mobile app.
Yeah, man, I'll have to do that. It's a pretty interesting conversation. You know, I heard yesterday you guys were talking to some atheist guy, you know, and I don't know about all that. I believe there is a God. I mean, you know, how you explain the sunrise, man? How you explain that? You can't. How you do that and not believe in it, man? But I'm not going to judge, man. Each their own. But good gracious, man! I hope he comes to the knowledge that we do have a God, man. You know, it's crazy. Some people out there. So, But you guys are doing
I think you're right, Dave. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot in what you say. Obviously, you get a little bit more sunshine than some of us out there on this sunny Californian coast. But
not recently. But yeah, you know, we do. Some people it bakes their minds. I can only stay out in the sun for so long, you know, or before it just, you know, I'm fried, you know. But I think that explains a lot of Californians. You know, they've been so used to the sunrise and they're getting so much sun, they just their brains are baked. I think that's why you got so many liberals out there, man.
Tell me this, Dave. What's the thing you enjoy most about Fairhope when you're visiting? What do you look forward to most?
Oh, man, you know, your weather here is amazing. I just like to, you know, to get out to the pier and, you know, go fishing. My brother's got a boat, so we'll go out there, you know, on the bay and just, you know, take in the nature, man. You know, take in God's creation, you know. And maybe that guy you had on yesterday, maybe he needs to come down to Fairhope. You guys got to invite him back on, man. Get him here. Maybe he will believe in God. If you get him down here on a boat and, you know, Fairhope, they'll be like, hey, man, maybe there is a God after all. You know what I'm saying, man?
I do. I think you're talking a lot of sense, Dave. Well, look, Dave, I've got to go, but it's been great pleasure speaking to you. I hope you'll call again sometime when you're in the Fairhope area or when you get back to San Fran. You know, now you've made the acquaintance with us here on Archangel Radio. I hope you're going to stay a friend of the network.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'll get your what is it again? What app is it again?
If you search for Archangel Radio mobile,
if you go to your
smartphone or whatever, you should be able to download it in a moment. And then the world's your oyster, as they say, Dave. After that, you can listen to LA Catholic Morning and this show and lots of other good shows. When San Francisco gets too much, you can tune in to the good news coming from Fairhope, Alabama.
Hey, look, man, count me in as a regular listener. It gets too much too fast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you take care of yourself out in San Francisco. It's a strange place. I've been there once, and I think once was enough. It's a strange place, and I think it's got even stranger since I was there. But thanks very much for calling in, Dave. And do stay tuned for Dr. Thigpen coming up shortly. We're going to be going to worlds as yet unknown, but with a very sure guide. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Hey, thank you, man. Peace out.
Well, look, there we go. We've got people calling in who are visiting the Fairhope area. Dave's visiting us from San Francisco, and Dave's obviously managed to tune in to Archangel Radio, so that's great. Listen, Dr. Thigpen is coming up next, and if you want to be part of that, if you have any questions for him, why don't you think about phoning in? I mean, this is interactive, right? I mean, yes, I could sit here and talk to myself, but it'd be nice to talk to you as well. 888-928-0881 or text me on 251-928-2111. Now, we've got our usual story time coming up at the end, the final segment. And before that, however, we've got Robert Hurst, who's coming. Bob Hurst, who's the editor of The Catholic Week, the Mobile Catholic newspaper. And he's going to tell us about some of the things happening across the Archdiocese of Mobile. So you're not going to want to miss that as well. So until we meet again, the other side of the break with Dr. Thigpen, when you're going to have to strap yourself in because we're going to worlds as yet unknown. Stay here with me, Kevin Turley, on the Turley Frequency, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to to the Turley Frequency, and if that bumper music hasn't cleared your ears, then nothing is going to at this rate of going. Now listen, for more than half a century, the question of extraterrestrial intelligence, ETI, has been widely dismissed in our culture. As I said in the last segment, it's been the source of many jokes, okay, and much buffoonery around the idea of extraterrestrials, and that has only increased over the years. But that hasn't always been the case. Some of the best minds of the last 25 centuries in Western civilization have grappled with the idea, with the mystery. Are we alone? Dr. Paul Thigpen earned a BA in Religious Studies from Yale University and then went on to be awarded an MA and a PhD in Historical Theology from Emory University, where he was awarded the George W. Woodruff Fellowship. In 2008, he was appointed as a lay representative on the National Advisory Council of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And after that, he's done many other things, including publishing 35 books. Yes, 35 books. That's extraterrestrial in itself. And more than 500 journals and magazine articles in more than 40 religious and secular periodicals for both secular, scholarly and popular audiences. Not only that, his work has been translated into 12 languages. I'm not sure if Klingon is one of them, but we can ask him when he comes along. His latest book is published by TAN and is called Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Catholic Faith. Are We Alone in the Universe with the God, with God and the Angels? Best-selling author Paul Thigpen begins in that a fascinating historical survey of the public conversation around ETs, tracing the thought of prominent Catholics and others. Well-known figures such as Plato, Descartes, Isaac Newton, Benjamin Franklin, C.S. Lewis all speculated about the possibilities of life beyond this planet. Even Catholic saints and blesseds, however, also spoke about ETs, and that was a big surprise to me. Names such as Pope John Paul II, Padre Pio, and intriguingly, Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Dr. Paul Thigpen, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Kevin, great to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
At last we speak, Dr. Paul.
It's good. It's been a long time coming, but I'm happy.
Just to let people know, I followed Paul. May I call you Paul?
Please.
Yeah, I followed Paul's work for many years because I was asked to review some of Paul's books a few years ago, and I started reviewing them and thoroughly enjoyed them. And, you know, when you review books, you review them, you put the review out, and that's normally the end of it. But I got a thank you note from Paul, which was very unusual in the world of reviewing books, and I can still remember that. But after that, Paul and I have collaborated on a number of articles about ETs and extraterrestrials and all this sort of thing. So when I saw his latest book from TAN, I was absolutely thrilled and thought no better person than Paul Thigpen to take this subject up. So, Paul, many people in our audience won't have read your book yet, but so give us the basic thesis of what you're setting out in it.
Sure. Yeah, it's it's basically a Catholic apologetics work. I've done a lot of work in Catholic apologetics. It proposes through kind of looking, as you said, the historical conversation, and then doing some theology in the second half of the book, that unlike many claims of Christian skeptics and people perhaps of a New Age background, that the discovery or disclosure of extraterrestrial intelligence would somehow disprove our faith. So no, actually, the Catholic faith is quite capable of accommodating that if we should have, you know, scientists to Mars and tell us it's true. And that it's, kind of a secondary thesis is that folks today, as you were saying, kind of have looked at it as a tinfoil hat conversation. But if they think that, they'll need a lot more tinfoil hats for people throughout Christian history and even before. But taking it very seriously. So the Catholic theologians and other Christians have long been able to look at this issue, take it seriously, and say, yeah, well, if we discovered that, here's how it would fit into our faith. It does not undermine our faith.
I think, I mean, thank you for that, Paul. And I think the thing that surprised me most about your book, and a number of things surprised me in it, but the thing that surprised me most was, as I was saying in the introduction there, just the quality of the minds that engaged with this subject, both secular and sacred.
They are. I mean, all the way back, of course, you mentioned Plato and Aristotle, but also other Greek philosophers that are still studied, you know, today, but you have church fathers, you have doctors of the church, you have saints and popes and other folks, and then just even aside from the Catholic figures, if you go back and you just look in the index on the back, it's amazing to see people like Isaac Newton and, as you mentioned, Benjamin Franklin and Leibniz and Copernicus and all kinds of other folks who took this issue seriously, and many of them said, yeah, I think they exist.
So at what point in our collective Western civilization did we stop taking this topic seriously?
Well, it's interesting. I kind of go period or century by century, period by period, and what you have is up until the end of the 1800s, the 19th century, almost a consensus, at least among the kind of intellectual elites, but, you know, the serious thinkers, that yes, of course, there are other races out there, so much so that St. John Henry Newman, the great English convert, commented once that it was so well assumed that ETI existed that it's almost as if to question it was considered a blasphemy. So that gives us an idea. It was a very, almost a consensus. You know, there are other voices, and I cite them in the book, of course. But several things began to happen. One was that when Darwinian teaching came out on evolution, you have the folks who were biologists beginning to say, no, you know, actually the situations that led to evolution on Earth are probably very rare out there and maybe even non-existent. So you have the biologists begin pushing against the idea.
That's
but
right.
the pushback came then from the astronomers and the astrophysicists as they began to see how many possibilities there are out there, to say, no, actually, we think it's more likely that that's the case. And the other thing that happened that's really interesting is it wasn't just the play of the scientists. They always go back and forth, you know, scientific paradigm shift again and again. And, you know, I have to say this, people, the book is not about UFOs. It does have an appendix at the end, but my publisher thought you really need to say something about that. Your readers will be interested. And what I did find, again, by serious historical research, is that beginning in the 1940s, where we began to have many very serious and highly attested reports of things in our skies that we couldn't understand. It was at the height of the Cold War, and the Pentagon and the intelligence community both kind of decided we don't want people thinking about this. It could get in the way of our relationships with Russia at the time, of course. And I could go into more detail, but in doing that, I mean, we actually have documents that have been released by the Freedom of Information Act request, showing that both the intelligence community and the Pentagon kind of made the decision, we need to get people to stop talking about this, so we will try to make sure it's subject to dismissal and mockery, and even that they would influence the major media to do so. And they succeeded. So at a time when you still had some scientists pushing back, but most of the culture still thinking, sure, they're out there, especially with the beginning of the space age, you have this intentional effort to dismiss it and to turn the whole thing upside down after 25 centuries of people taking seriously, to have instead the media, anytime they talk about it, laughing and talking about green men and, you know, putting up weird music. And that's only now turning. That's only now turning.
You're listening to Dr. Paul Thigpen, who is the author of Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Catholic Faith, Are We Alone in the Universe with God and the Angels? Dr. Paul, just as you're speaking there, I mean, by the way, if you want to join in this conversation, you can. Give us a ring, 888-928-0881, or text me on 251-928-2111. I'd be only too happy to field your questions. You know, the more I'm listening to you, Paul, about this, the more I think it's intriguing, this sort of premise. Because, as I say, I wasn't aware that so many great minds had grappled with this subject right up to the point where suddenly there's this outbreak of sightings and occurrences. And I want to talk to you about one in particular in a minute. But and then suddenly we're into the space age when you think this all sort of dovetails. And yet the official government reaction, the official government line is one of ridicule, mockery. I mean, is it too much of a conspiratorial mindset to see something at work here? Somebody's trying to put us off?
Well, I might have thought that at one time, but it kind of a deep dive into the documents we actually have to eyewitness testimony, which cannot, I know it's anecdotal, but it cannot be dismissed, suggests that perhaps for legitimate reasons in the beginning, worries about national security that remain during the Cold War, that yes, they were, I mean, there were concerns, for instance, that we had major flaps like back in the 40s and 50s. You have one where all of a sudden all these things are appearing over Los Angeles and they're actually going after them. And same thing happened. Most people don't realize over D.C., over the, you know, the White House and stuff, not hovering over, but flying by. It's on the radio. It's reported. It's on the radar and it's reported on the radio and TV, those kinds of things. And apparently the people in charge of Pentagon intelligence were concerned that this was somehow going to damage our very precarious position in the Cold War, that, for instance, people would start calling in when those things would happen. It didn't just happen in those two places. And they're afraid that if something like that happened, that the Soviets would take advantage of it and try to do something, you know, missile or whatever, or even that, they had other reasons that we'll go into. So there was
Paul, I mean, because it's a fascinating era, that sort of late 40s, post-World War II, Cold War is on full. And but there seems to be this, we all know about Roswell, and some of us know about Trinity in New Mexico and various other ones that have come to light. But the one that I didn't know about, which you detail in your book, is the appearance in 1949 in a Catholic church, or just over a Catholic church in Ohio. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about that?
Give me just 1 minute. I'll need to find it so I can make sure I get the details right, because it is a fascinating story.
Well, it's St. Peter's and St. Paul's Catholic Church in Norwood, Ohio. And
yes,
there was
the
a three-night parish
sorry.
Fundraising yeah. carnival. That's how it all started in August 1949, August 19th.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having to look it up. I wrote the book over a year ago. Okay, here we go.
I know. It's page 361.
361, that's right.
Sergeant Berger was there that night.
Yes, I didn't want to give you the details wrong. So they had a fundraiser. They had one of those big searchlights up in the sky that used to be used for events like that to attract attention. So people, the prisoners and their guests, had their eyes focused on the heavens. And what they saw there took them by surprise. About 8:15 p.m., the searchlight came across, as they described it, a glowing disc that was seen by the sergeant, the parish pastor, Father Miller, and others. And it was only the first occurrence of that. On nine occasions then, between August and March, UFOs were seen over the church, witnessed by local residents, not just parishioners, but the mayor, a whole bunch of other folks. So in one of these sightings, two groups of five triangular objects were observed emerging from the disc. And one of the witnesses that night was Father Cletus Miller, Father Gregory's brother. And it's kind of interesting that he was at that time dean of the Institutum Divi Tome, a graduate research institute established by the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, one of whose goals was to demonstrate that there's no conflict between science and religion. It's kind of interesting. So Father Cletus reported that the triangular objects were shaped like Indiana arrowheads. So Father Gregory reportedly possessed film of the object taken by Sergeant Davidson. The film was shown to a closed audience in the studios of the Cincinnati TV station, WCPO, and it has, of course, since vanished. Things like that. Sounds like an X-Files, you know.
Well, you see, this is the problem, Paul. You know, I'm reading this, and I'm absolutely riveted, fascinated by this, right? We have a Catholic church in Ohio, August 1949. They start having these discs flying over. There's military personnel there. There's a priest there. There's credible witnesses. There's people who film this. They take it to the local television network where there's a private screening. And then the film disappears. I mean, you know, this is what I mean about this idea that, these kind of gaps feed this idea that, and it may be feeding a fertile imagination that there's more to this than meets the eye, when there may not be, right? I mean, let's be honest. But it kind of there's a kind of mythos that's being created that somehow somebody, the men in black, whatever they call them these days, are coming, taking the film away. You saw nothing. You heard nothing. I mean, is this something you've come across in your research, or is that an urban legend?
Well, I mean, they aren't always men in black, but sure, all kinds of things. You've got lots and lots of, you know, witnesses testifying that if they had some kind of documentation that people show up at the doorstep, strangers claim to be from the government or wherever, and then they demand the material, have them turn it over. They make threats to them and their family if you don't, if you speak about this kind of thing. That's just not an occasional thing. That's happened so many times. You have, you know, some of the recent sightings that did make it into the news in the New York Times, where you have Navy pilots seeing things and Navy, the ships, with all kinds of, you know, multiple kinds of electronic sensors are all seeing this thing along with eyewitnesses. And then, you know, according to the testimony of personnel, somebody shows up, men, maybe in black, I don't know what they were dressed in, but demanded to see the footage of the video and that kind of stuff, take it, and it's gone. They don't have it now. So somebody's doing it.
Something's going on. Paul, I mean, you may not want to answer this question on air, but I mean, have you been visited since you published this book?
No, they wouldn't pay attention to me. I'm no use to them, I'm sure. But.
Well, I'm very relieved to hear that, Paul. You're listening to Paul Thigpen, who's the author of Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Catholic Faith, Are We Alone in the Universe with God and the Angels? And I'll remind you, you can speak to Paul if you've got any strange experiences you want to recount or any questions you want to ask. Then feel free to call us on 888-928-0881 or text me on 251-928-2111. I'd only be too happy to field those questions. Stay with me here on Archangel Radio, back after these words. Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio, and I am delighted to say that I'm joined in conversation with Dr. Paul Thigpen, who is the author of Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Catholic Faith, Are We Alone in the Universe with God and the Angels? Dr. Paul, the question, when I had this book, I was carrying it along reading it, and a very devout Catholic friend of mine looked at it and said, why are you wasting your time on that? Now, I'm sure you've had this as well, right? Where people are rather dismissive of this subject and it's not fit for good Catholics to be, in quotes, wasting their time on. How would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to realize that folks like St. Albert the Great, one of our greatest scholar, church doctors, once said, since one of the most wondrous and noble questions about nature is whether there is one world or many, a question that the human mind desires to understand per se in itself, it seems desirable for us to inquire about it. And so he did. And I think that's, you know, part of the attitude we have to take is that we want to know more about God's creation. And if God has created all kinds of things we haven't even known or understood yet, to understand them better helps us to realize how creative he is, how great he is, how smart he is, you know, all those things. But more importantly, and more specifically, I think I mentioned before that the book has a Catholic apologetic intent. Because of things that have been happening recently, reports in the New York Times and other sources, and now congressional hearings into what's going on in our skies, things that can't be explained, things that seem to be defying the laws of physics as we know them, that it was pretty, I think, can be demonstrated, you know, at least most of them, that they're not demonic. Something we could talk about. People often say that, too. if we're getting close to perhaps some kind of disclosure, either by scientists or some government, that we're not alone, then my concern is that you have two groups of people who are going to take advantage of that to the detriment of Christians. And one is, and they've been around for centuries, folks who say, like Thomas Paine, who was important in the American Revolution, but also many others, who said that, this disproves ET, if there's ETI, and he believed there was, extraterrestrial intelligence, then this disproves your faith.
That's right.
And I actually know Catholics who would say the same thing. If this is real, then it would disprove my faith. I don't know what I would do. So my point is to be able to say, no, it's not the case at all. This is to help people understand that this would not upset their faith at all. Our faith is much richer and more nuanced than that. But then you've got a second group of folks, maybe today we'd say New Age, but you could call a lot of names. The Swedenborgian, a couple of centuries ago, were doing the same thing, who say, yes, it's real. And these space brothers, they go by many names, actually have the real true religion, and all earthly religions are wrong. So they will teach us that and then prove that your religion is wrong. And in both cases, we need to be able to say, no, that's not the case at all. Read this book and, you're not going to upset my faith.
Well, we just had a text in, Paul, and it says, what does the catechism say about UFOs, and can Catholics believe in little green men? So what would you say to the listener?
First of all, I'd say please dispense with the notion of little green men. That's just, again, that's a dismissive attitude and doesn't have any place here. But second, the catechism, I deal with this extensively in my book. It does not deny the possibility of ETI. There have been some folks who have tried to claim that, and they will use particular texts that they kind of treat like a fundamentalist would treat a biblical text, not looking at the rest of what the catechism has to say. So I look at that in my book. There's several places in the catechism that talks about the, humanity being having a special relationship with God. Yes, of course, we'll affirm that, and that he's been given dominion over other things. But when you he's special in this relationship, image of God among the creatures. And they'll see that and say, we're the only ones that could be intelligent like that. But then they fail to look at a few paragraphs before or after where it specifies creatures on earth. So in my book, the catechism leaves this open, I think, and I think a lot of folks that look at it carefully would say that. And again, you have folks saying, no, the church has not defined this, and the church never has. And it's apparently one of those questions that the church is leaving to the scientists. Now, there's certain things that our faith can tell us would not be the case. We won't discover anything out there that was not created by God. We won't discover anything that is not subject to God. So things like that, of course, we can say because of our faith.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's very, very common in this debate, which you're right. Immediately deteriorates into silliness with some people, some very sensible and goodwill people, but it deteriorates. Where there's another bit which deteriorates into they're all from hell, or they are part of some new age deception. Which there may be. I don't know. But you're absolutely right. The church has never defined any of this, and probably wisely has stayed away. There was some wonderful quotes in your book where some of the – I forget which church father, but it's a recurring theme where they say, well – or it was C.S. Lewis as well, I think, who said, well, let's start defining it more when we actually know what these creatures are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very wise position to take. But what also really surprised me, and I think will surprise anybody who picks up this book, which is excellent, by the way, and I recommend it. That's Extraterrestrial Intelligence in the Catholic Faith, published by Tan, was the number of quotes from saints. And we're talking church fathers. There's a number of biblical allusions, but there's hard quotes from church fathers down through the years. But then there's some modern saints who we think about. So there's sort of surprising quotes from people like Padre Pio. Do you want to speak to that, Paul?
Yes. Padre Pio, St. Pio Pietrelcino. There's a dialogue that was documented that he had with an interviewer. It's officially published by the Capuchin Order. I'm aware of this because of a Monsignor who was in the Curia. He's now passed on, but he had reported it, where someone said, this is an interview. So the questioner says, Father Pio, some claim that there are creatures of God on other planets too. And his answer was, and it sounds just like Dr. Teo, what else? Do you think they don't exist and that God's omnipotence is limited to this small planet Earth? What else? Do you think there are no other beings who love the Lord? Another question from the questioner. Father, I think the Earth is nothing compared to other planets and stars. And his answer, exactly yes. And we Earthlings are nothing too. The Lord certainly did not limit his glory to this small Earth. And other planets, other beings exist who did not fall the sin and fall as we did.
Now,
astounding.
It is astounding. I want to ask you another question related to it, but I also want to talk about the quote that's ascribed to the late, great John Paul II, which I think it was in a kind of off the cuff where he said, always remember that they, the aliens, are children of God as we are. Now, I know both quotes. My question really, Paul, is this. Were both saints really dealing with hypotheticals? They were dealing with kind of philosophical ideas as opposed to realities.
Well, you know, I always say that, and the church has always taught, that a comment like this from a saint doesn't prove anything. It's not it's not infallible, in other words. With Padre Pio, seems to me there are two possibilities. One is that if he said this, and I believe he did, then he's very firm in this position. So then the question becomes, is this an opinion he's come to? Or in the case of Padre Pio, who all through his life has been reported to have been given knowledge that others did not have access to. He could read souls. He could see things happening at a distance.
That's true.
He could know the history of people. Of all people, for Padre Pio to say this, I wish I'd been the interviewer so I can follow up with a question. You know, Father
you
Pio, me, is this your opinion?
You and me both, Paul. You and me both.
Or did God reveal this to you?
You're listening to Dr. Paul Thigpen, who's the author of Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Catholic Faith. Are We Alone in the Universe with God and the Angels? Now, those two saints are very public men and very much 20th century men with great followings. So their words have a certain resonance. But what intrigued me a lot was Anne Catherine Emmerich, or to give her a proper title, the stigmatist Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, who lived, she died in 1824. And many people will know that her visions of the Holy Family and the life of Our Lord and Our Lady went on to influence the famous Passion film by Mel Gibson. That's often cited as one of the sources for the imagery and how that plays out. But what really shocked me was that she had things to say about extraterrestrials. Do you want to talk about that, Paul?
She did. And again, I don't cite these folks as some kind of proof that ETI exists. We all know that there are folks who studied Blessed Anne Catherine know, for instance, that there's, you know, controversy about her writings and whether they were somehow edited very much by the person that she worked with. And so anyway, it's the kind of thing that you can't base belief on, but
no.
It does seem apparent that in her visions, she saw life out there on other heavenly bodies. And for me, the point I make with all of these, the main point I make, is that there are folks who have tried to accuse me of how could a Catholic believe that such things exist? How could a well-formed Catholic, you're leading people to hell? I'm simply showing that there are plenty of well-formed Catholics whose names we recognize that have believed this. And in the case of someone like St. Augustine or St. Jerome, didn't talk about extraterrestrials, but what we would call ultra-terrestrials, that they believed there was non-intelligent human life on Earth. So anyway, to show that folks like this who are well catechized and well-formed in their faith also, you know, that they believe that it was and that it did exist. So that should give us pause before we start condemning people and saying, if you believe this, you're not faithful.
But what, absolutely. And what Blessed Anne Catherine was also alluding to, though, was that some of these extraterrestrials living on places like the moon or whatever were either fallen spirits of one sort or another, or souls awaiting the day of judgment, which was a very different take on this whole idea that extraterrestrials are sort of demigods who come down to Earth and teach us what we should be doing.
Yes, she, and you actually have some others. There's even a Catholic priest in the 1900s who was pretty well known, or maybe this lady, you know, I have to look at the details, but who had a notion that, and lots of others, who had this notion that other planets might be the place where departed human souls go for one reason or another. And it got into some really wild discussions. You know, some people thought, well, that hell is located in the sun. So that that's where you go. And again, I'm not promoting these ideas. I just kind of mention them in the book to help you see the variety of ferment, intellectual ferment going on with this. But yeah, notion that somehow the planets might actually have a place in the postmortem process that God has for people. Now, that's something I haven't looked any more deeply into and have no desire to. It's something that I think is, you know, hidden from us. But anyway, you actually have one of the priests talking about, for instance, that almost like the Mormon doctrine that after death, those who the saints actually go out and kind of reign over planets. So I'm just saying she's not the only person. And we know that, you know, with her, some of what she's seeing could be influenced by ideas that were just going around in the culture at
That's
the time.
True.
And there were
That's
ideas
true.
Like this going around the culture. So I'm certainly not saying it's true. I'm just saying the very basic thing, someone like Blessed Ann Catherine Emmerich could actually believe. And not just that she could believe it, but that for a long time afterward, before her writings were questioned, you had cardinals and all kinds of theologians who said there's nothing in these works, including this idea that's contrary to faith. We have to pay attention to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. I mean, with Blessed Ann Catherine, you're talking about private revelations, and we all know that there's a certain degree of caution needed in any private revelations. So that goes out there. But I suppose why I mentioned those three is that you've got, and you can go further back to Origen and various other church fathers who really, and St. Augustine, they all seem to have a go at this, you know, so that this isn't something fringe. This is something that mainstream saints and mystics and popes even have talked of. I mean, they may not have talked of definitively, and that's probably very sensible, but it's still something. So before, we've only got a couple of minutes left, Paul, and I've got to ask you, and you may want to postpone this, but what's your take on Roswell?
Well, I think we have plenty of evidence from lots of first-person testimony that something did happen there, and that it's something that has been covered up. And it's serious enough that the new legislation from Congress trying to get to the bottom of these kinds of things has now made it a legal requirement of the Pentagon and the intelligence community that they have to reveal to Congress, at least to even in closed sessions perhaps, but any documentation, information they have going back to Roswell, and in fact now back to 1945 when the Trinity event took place. They want to know what that is. So if nothing else, the congressional committees are taking it very seriously that something happened there.
Absolutely. So the mystery continues. Very quickly, Paul, tell people where they can find out more about you and your book.
Yes, you can get it at canbooks.com or at your local Catholic bookstore. And I hope folks will check it out and enjoy it.
Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. I hope you come back again.
Thank you so much. God bless you, Kevin, and all your listeners.
That was Dr. Paul Thigpen. It's well worth a read, that book. When we come back, we will be talking Divine Mercy, and you can be part of that, remember. Call us on 888-928-0881 or text me on 251-928-2111. We'd only be too happy to take your calls and enter you into the prayer of this Divine Mercy family here on Archangel Radio. So, back after these words.